Expedia and Visit Scotland invite you to come experience the beauty that awaits in Scotland. The sweep of wild coastlines, quiet lochs and untamed landscapes. Fresh cuisine that feels rooted in the land. Come experience the kind of stillness that stays with you long after you leave. Plan your Scottish escape today at expedia.com/visitscotland.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Mountains apart to show you how they float.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz interview series with Spanish-born, Sweden-based pianist and vocalist Aletha Lautaro. We got into her debut and new 2026 album, There Is No End to Anything Round, and her life and the music. Her work blends piano, vocals, and electronics with immersive visuals and spatial experiences, exploring the emotional connection between sound, space, and imagery. And her voice is astonishing. She has premiered work at some of the world's most prestigious institutions, like the National Music Hall in Taipei, Taiwan, and Auditorio 400 in Madrid. This new album lives somewhere between neoclassical, elegant art pop, and electronic music realms. It's quite a journey. Enjoy this interview.
Well, it's so great to meet you. Thank you for reaching out to Neon Jazz. I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Me too.
So before we get into the new album, I want to know this. You know, 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing everything for everybody, especially musicians. And I know Sweden had a very unique response to it. How did you get through that era? And how has it changed the way that you create and live today?
I mean, 2020 was actually it was a special year for me. It was, a big turning point in what I'm doing and how I'm doing music. Because I have a classical background, so I started playing piano and violin as a kid, and then went on with like contemporary composition. So and so up till that point, I had always been writing music and not performing it myself. And it was right there that year when I started thinking like, I don't want to be doing music this way. You know, like the classical scene, it can be many times, or in some aspects, like quite rigid or strict. And I felt that I didn't want to be doing music in that way. So it's when I started thinking I want to also be on stage and do my own project and perform music. And so it was that year actually that I moved to Sweden, and that I started, like, everything that is happening now is coming from 2020.
Okay.
So it's the beginning of the journey.
It was the epicenter. So let's get into the brand new album, There Is No End to Anything Round. And I want to ask you, what was the vision? What was the idea that ultimately materialized into this album?
It's my first album. And I think it can happen that there are so many things that we want to put into, you know, a single project and just a single piece of music that everything is there. And for me, this album is about, you know, those moments when you feel that everything is connected somehow, that you feel a sense of transcendence, or it can be a sunset where, you know, everything, you have that feeling of everything is huge and I'm part of this. And or reading a book and you're reading through the words and you're seeing the words. So I wanted to connect to that feeling, which is like this door into a part of reality that we don't always see, but it's always there, like this feeling of magic. And so each one of the songs of the album is connected to a different story that is coming from oral traditions, fairy tales, myths, and some of them are old, some of them are more recent, some of them are my own daydreamings. But it was this idea of having a narrative and a symbolic meaning connected to the music that made me think, oh, I really want to go into this and see what can come out.
That seems almost very dreamy for a debut album, the idea of dreams and all of these kind of myths and things coming together. Was that really kind of what you're trying to? Because a debut album's a big deal. It's your initial shout out into the community. Was that kind of the idea that you really wanted to tap in to the deepest part of your soul to let people see that first and foremost?
I think it is coming just I've always had a very big fascination for books, stories, and myths, and like that. I've been reading a lot of Joseph Campbell, Myrtle Eliade, the myth of the eternal return, all that, and that has always fascinated me so much. And I thought that I wanted to somehow convey that into music, or to use the symbolical narrative as a means to go somewhere else. So yeah, I think I've always been very absorbed into those kind of stories, and then it translates into music.
When you said myth, the first thing that came to mind was Joseph Campbell, and he has to be one of the most enlightened minds that has ever been on this planet. I mean, all of the work that he did was absolutely amazing. So, So let me ask you this. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what are you hoping the listener gets from this debut album?
I think for me, I would be happy if, with this idea of that is crossing to somewhere else, and that I think for me, music is also not only something you hear, but a space you enter. So I think if they can somehow open the door into that part of themselves also, like that in a way the music is a journey for them to go on and see where it takes them. So nothing specific, but more just a journey inwards.
Speaking of that journey, let's go back to the beginnings of your life. How did music, how did jazz, how did all of this life that you're living right now as a creative begin and take hold?
I would say it was almost like fate or something. It was placed upon me in some way. My grandma wanted to be a singer. She's 98 years old now. I just got a video from her holding the album, and it was also a very emotional moment for me. She wanted to be a singer, and because of the times, and in Spain when she was young, it was not possible for a woman to be a musician or to pursue that. So her parents didn't let her study music, and it even so, she's been singing her whole life, and it was her big dream that she couldn't fulfill. Then when my mother wanted to play piano and also sing, be in the music scene, my grandma didn't let her. So when my sister and I were born, my mom was like, "You guys are gonna study music." So we started like with music lessons and so on from a very early age. And luckily, like I loved it from the first moment, and it was like for me, it's been always a way of expressing myself, and just easier to use than words many times. So that's how I ended up here.
So who were early influences? Who did you emulate? Who did you look up to that eventually led you to find your own unique voice?
I listened to a lot of classical music as a kid. It was the music that we always had at home. I remember waking up with Mozart's Requiem, and just the I don't know, Rachmaninoff, Bach, Brahms. I didn't discover jazz until way later on. But then it was also like just this big music world that was very new to me at that point. And then I think I've been in a way trying to connect all these different facets.
So, do you remember the first live show that you saw, whether it was jazz or otherwise, that really moved you and have formed maybe, whether consciously or subconsciously, the way that you would approach the stage?
The first live show. Yeah, I think it might have been yeah, it was a classical music again, and it was an orchestra concert. It was in this auditorium, and it was the Rite of Spring. And I had always, I mean, I had studied the piece in and I had listened to it, and I had never connected to it. I have always felt that, oh, it's strange and weird, and I don't understand why everybody likes it so much. And then they were playing it live, and I remember that right in that moment, everything somehow came together, all the pieces, like in real time, and I could only sit there and cry as I was listening. And since then, I think it's one of my most favorite pieces. But I think it really made a very strong impact, in the sense that how, when you listen to something live, is really a completely different experience than when you're listening just anywhere else.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, you've had this dream of being in music for a long time.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-burner gas grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
What's been the difference between what you thought your life would be like as a musician and what it's actually turned out to be living the life of a musician? What's that space in between?
I guess that space in between is writing a lot of emails, which I hadn't foreseen, I guess. Yeah, I think it's one dreams about, being a musician, and then having the whole day full of hours where you're just inside of your instrument, practicing, composing, dedicating yourself to your craft. And I mean, there's a big part of this life which is about, organizing things, writing things, promoting, like, so I guess that whole part I hadn't seen.
So let me ask you this. What do you like the best about being a professional musician? When you wake up every day and you get to create and you get to live this life you dreamed of, what do you like the best about it?
I think what I like the most is I really like playing by myself. I think I have like a very close relationship with the piano, or with the voice in that sense, and composing I really love. I think like just to be able to express myself in that language, which is abstract, and you don't need words, and you don't need to convey things in the way you need to when you're talking. I think that's a very special thing. Or I don't know, when you're composing and you're stuck, and you have reached a dead end, there's no way of going forward with the composition, and suddenly you play something new that changes everything else. I think that's a very precious moment right there, that it's a very special kind of joy, or yeah.
So, why do you love this music we call jazz?
I think it's the freedom of it. Like when I was doing classical music, that was what I felt. It couldn't let me be myself somehow, and that's why I came also to. I was very inspired by Scandinavian jazz and Scandinavian players, and that's why I came here, because it felt that there was room for everything you could think of, and there was room to connect all different things that you could imagine, and to dream in a way about the sound that you would want to create. So I think that's what I like about jazz.
So, if you could get into a time machine and go back into the history of jazz and see one live show, one performance, what would you love to have seen with your own eyes?
I mean, I know you ask me about jazz, but I might have to come back to the Rite of Spring
Okay,
because
yeah.
I think that was just I mean, like, I think most of my emotional world and also my musical world, it is connected to classical music in that sense, even if I'm not doing that anymore. And it's it has different ways of expression, but I think it would have been pretty wild to be in that premiere where everybody went crazy, and I think that would have been something that I would have wanted to see.
Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you this. Everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, everyone on the bandstand, everyone in a business sense, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
That's a big question.
Yes, it is.
Who do you think you are?
That's right. Who do you think you are?
I think that what I am or what I always want to be is just honest with what I do. I think that if I can convey an honest emotion in what I play, then I think that's it. And I think it's also like I've never thought of myself as a musician that goes into a single part of the craft or a single instrument and really refines that to the peak of perfection. I really admire that, but I know that I'm not a musician. I'm interested in many, many different things. So I feel like trying to encompass a lot of things together. It's like with the electronics and the piano and the voice visuals. Like, I think I see music as something that has many different sides, and it has texture and color and space that inhabits. So that's maybe polyphasetic
Yeah, for sure.
aspect of it.
So let me ask you this. Your debut is out in the world.
This podcast is brought to you by Carvana. Selling your car should feel like one less thing on your list, not one more. With Carvana, it is. Just go to Carvana.com, enter your license plate or VIN, and get a real offer down to the penny. No back and forth, no surprises, just an experience you can trust. Like your offer? Accept it. Schedule a pickup, and we'll come to you with a check in hand. Your car, your timeline, your terms. Visit Carvana.com to sell your car today.
Carvana.
Delivery fees and terms may apply.
What if we talk 10 years from now? What do you want to see happen in your career here in the next decade? What's kind of your dreamy notion of what will happen?
I think that I have just started doing something right now that I'm just, oh, I have found this little thing, or I have found this way of making music that makes sense for me, which is like this that I was talking about before, which is like it is a complete experience that you experience with you. Is with your whole body, right? And I think that what I want to bring on stage is also that when the audience comes in, it's not you're not there to just listen to a concert, but you're entering a different world, and all of these elements are coming together and are connected. So I feel that I have just started exploring that, and 10 years from now, I would like to talk about like all the many weird different things I have discovered along the way, and just all those findings along trying to connect all these different elements.
So, what do you like the best about living in Sweden, and what do you miss about Spain?
I think I really enjoyed the cultural life here and how there's that freedom I was talking about before, where many different things meet. I have also found many beautiful people here to play with and to share music. What I miss the most is the sun, definitely.
Yeah. So if
Like,
in yeah, for sure. So are what are you doing for live performances? If anybody wants to get a copy, I know it's streaming everywhere, but if anybody wants to get a copy of the album, where's the best place to go?
We have it in Bandcamp.
Okay.
Also through my website and all streaming platforms, or just contact me directly. That also works.
Okay. Excellent. I will put all these links in the show notes. This has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for talking about your music, your career, the new album. Best of luck on it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Spain, Sweden, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.